From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message called Things to Remember, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Constantly Abides. The text is 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. God's choice of His people is the reason for His abiding by them and not forsaking them. He chose them for His love, and He loves them for His choice. His own good pleasure is the source of their election, and His election is the reason for the continuance of His pleasure in them. It would dishonor His great name for Him to forsake them, since it would either show that He made an error in His choice, or that He was fickle in His love. God's love has this glory, that it never changes, and this glory He will never tarnish. By all the memories of the Lord's former loving kindnesses, let us rest assured that He will not forsake us. He who has gone so far as to make us His people will not undo the creation of His grace. He has not wrought such wonders for us that He might leave us after all. His Son Jesus has died for us, and we may be sure that He has not died in vain. Can He forsake those for whom He shed His blood? Because He has hitherto taken pleasure in choosing and in saving us, it will be His pleasure still to bless us. Our Lord Jesus is no changeable lover. Having loved His own, He loves them to the end. How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Joshua chapter 23 finds Joshua an old man shortly to die. As he exhorts the children of Israel to remain faithful to the Lord, he tells them to take good heed unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. If we are to go on with God, we must keep before us what the Lord has done for us in saving our souls. He has given his people rich promises which he has never failed to fulfill. These include promises of his presence, of comfort, and of support. In addition, God has given his people a rich provision through the gospel. All the fullness of God is ours in Christ. Then the Lord has given us a rich prospect. He has promised victory for his people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival blessing can yet be a reality for the church as well as for individual believers. Although forces are at work that would rob God's people of spiritual power, we must separate from the world and cling to God in love. Then the Lord will bless us and use us, no matter who may be against us. Now to conclude this message, things to remember. Here is Dr. Cairns.
As a young Christian, when I started paying attention to the doctrine of the second coming of Christ and spending hours and hours poring over the scriptures with a Scofield Bible, coming to the conclusion that Mr. Schofield was wrong in most of what he said about the subject. But as I stood there, I came to the prophecy of Joel. And I couldn't get away from the fact, and I still can't get away from the fact, that it's a prophecy that reaches right to the end of this age. But yet I found that it started to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And in my teenage brain, this one thing crystallized. And I say, with all the years that have passed, I have never changed this view. That God gave a promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that seems to have something immediately to do with the second coming of Christ. But He started pouring out that Spirit in the day of Pentecost. What can I conclude from that? I believe I can conclude this. That what God did in the day of Pentecost, He will never withdraw. The Spirit He gave, He will never take back. The power for the church, He will never, never deny. And that will be with the church. And indeed, rather than getting less, it will be revealed in all its pristine purity and power immediately before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe, and I don't really care at this point what your position on eschatology is. I'm simply saying I do not believe for a moment that we have the slightest bit or shadow of an excuse for not seeing that God has a wonderful prospect for His church. If we're going to live in the fullness and the blessing of God, we'd better know that. Remember what God has already done for us and given to us. Then remember that there are forces at work that want to rob us of this blessing of God. Verse 6 to 8 is a warning against apostasy, a warning against backsliding. There are forces that we are coming in contact with within ourselves and around us that want to take us away out of the experience of the blessing of God. That was true of the Israelites. They had these nations, or at least the remnants thereof, around about them. Those nations posed dangers. Children of Israel were told, recognize it, remember, there are forces set for your destruction. Dr. Verdon this morning mentioned the time that so many spend watching television. I just read a little snippet from D.L. Moody. I closed the book and didn't take a note of the page, so I can't give you it word for word. But I intend to hunt it out again. And I thought, how America has changed since Moody's day. Of course, there was no television, there was no radio for Moody to mention. But the Sunday papers were very popular, just as they are today. Man, was I glad to see this coming from an American. Because in our country, you see, you proclaim yourself an ungodly wretch if you read the Sunday papers. Possibly because most of them are rags, but I think it was because mostly of the love for the Sabbath day. And Moody saw this coming into America in his day. And he blasted the Christians who would not give the Sabbath to God. And he lamented the curse and the scourge that this was in the homes of Christian people. Nowadays, I think he was off his head. But I want to tell you, he wasn't off his head. He wasn't off his head. I'm going to make a sweeping statement and call me a legalist if you want. I'd rather be a legalist that's holy than an antinomian that is unholy. I want to tell you this. In a Christian home, that television has no right to be on for any reason, for any program, on day. And that radio, you can do without hearing what fires there have been in Greenville overnight and who murdered whom and all the rest of them. You can do without that for one day. This is the Lord's day. And it's about time we wakened up to it. There are forces that are at work among God's people to secularize their thinking, to make their hearts cold, to take them away out of the central blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua spells out the results of such declension when we lose the zeal and we lose the vision and we lose the power to go on with God, when we come to terms with sin. He says you'll have defeat, you'll have disgrace. Look at verse 13, you'll find defeat, you'll find the disgrace, that these people will be snares and traps and you fall into them. You'll not have the wit, the wisdom, or the strength to keep out of them. Is that not what we're finding today? Do we not find we have bred a race of Christians who are so weak and wandering that they are falling into every snare, they're entrapped by every foe? And he says it will lead to dispossession. Again, verse 13. And short of eternal life. Listen to me very carefully. Short of eternal life. A Christian could lose everything that he has. You ever think of it? I've seen Christians with their hands full, as it were, and they have lost it all. I've seen preachers, and they were so full, their ministry was so rich, and they lost it all. What is the history of Christianity in America? It is the history of one great church and one great denomination and one great movement of God's people after another that had the fullness and then it lost it all. There are forces at work to dispossess us. Therefore, remember what we must do for God: obey His word, live in separation from the world, and, as our text puts it, cleave to the Lord in love. Obey, separate, cling to your God in love. Remember what we must do for Him. And as we think of these things, remember that our response to this call will have far-reaching consequences. We have seen rows of little children here this morning. That's always a lovely thing to see. It's also a very solemn thing to see. I think of little children that I knew from they were born, seemed so innocent, so perfect. I think of one who loved to come to Sunday school, loved to come to church. Even when mother and father wouldn't come, he'd be there. But I saw that little boy grow up, become a drunken scoundrel, a hater of God, a mocker of all things good. Many a time when I look at him today, I get in my mind a picture of what he was. And I realize there was a time in that home when those parents who at that time professed faith in Christ were faced with whether or not they would obey a call like this. What terrible consequences flow from such parental choices. It's true of the church. Men and women, if we are faithful, God will bless and use us no matter who's against us. If we are unfaithful, we cannot be used of God. We cannot live in the fullness of the gospel and its power. Things to remember. I trust that God will write them on our heart. We learn our lessons well, and by the grace of God, remembering what He has done in the light of God and His Christ, we will live for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us and Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for the riches of Thy grace in Christ. We thank Thee for the fullness of Thy provision. We thank Thee, our Father and our God, for all that Thou hast done for us. We praise Thee for the opportunity to live for Thee. And our God, we pray that, faced with the many enemies of our soul and the many enemies of the gospel that we find around us, we may be diligent to remember these things that Thou hast set before us and to walk humbly with God. Teach us to obey Thy word. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give to every Christian here that grace to say, when God says it, that's enough. Give us grace and faith to obey Thy word. We pray, our Father, that Thou wilt grant us also the grace to separate from the world, from the apostasy of these days. Lord, make us to separate by going outside the camp unto the Lord Jesus Christ. May Christ be the focal point of our separated living. And, O Lord, we pray, give us a great love for Christ. Lord, save us from having that cold, dead, hard-hearted profession of orthodoxy. We want to be orthodox, but, O God, we pray that Thou wilt give us an orthodoxy that is set on fire with the love of Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt thereby enable us to live in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer. Grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion both now until the Savior either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. In Jesus' peerless and precious name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.